You're listening to the Radio Cafe, coming to you from the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and radiocafe.org, where you can contact us at any time. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. The Lensic and Outpost Performance Space present the legendary Chick Corea Trilogy on October 8th, featuring the 22-time Grammy Award winner Chick Corea with powerhouse bassist Christian McBride and drummer extraordinaire Brian Blade to form this stellar trio. Trilogy includes reinventions of classic Corea compositions, previously unrecorded originals, and an array of jazz standards recognized with 2 Grammy Awards. Get tickets today at lensic.org. Support for the Radio Cafe comes from the Lannan Foundation, presenting a reading and conversation by Deborah Levy with Jonathan Freeman on Wednesday, October 30th at 7 o'clock at the Lensic. Deborah Levy is a fellow of the Royal Society of Literature and writes fiction, plays, and poetry. The author of beloved books including Hot Milk and Swimming Home, both Man Booker Prize finalists, and Things I Don't Want to Know, her latest novel is The Man Who Saw Everything, longlisted for the 2019 Booker Prize. Tickets available at the Lensic, 988-1234, or lensic.org. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe photographer Don Usner and writer Bill Dubuis. And we're here to talk about the upcoming photo exhibition called The Once and Future Child, A Photographic History of Childhood in New Mexico, curated by Don Usner. And Bill, you wrote kind of the introduction to the exhibit. First of all, welcome, gentlemen.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Nice to be with you.
This exhibit, by the way, is going to be at El Zaguan, which is the Historic Santa Fe Foundation at 545 Canyon Road in Santa Fe, opening on the 11th of October. We'll have more information about that toward the end of the show. What was the inspiration, Don, for the show?
Kids. I've been really involved with kids photography and work with young kids through my wife's work primarily. She's an early childhood mental health specialist, and for 30 years I've been watching her and interacting with her in her various programs, and we've raised our own kid. And the theme that Bill and others dreamed up for the inaugural theme for Searchlight New Mexico was children, childhood well-being. And it seemed to me that it would be really interesting to do a sort of a baseline. Where has childhood been, and where might it be going, the experience of childhood, given that we have a rich archive of photographs in New Mexico and elsewhere. And it just seemed to me that it would be an opportunity to stop and think about what children mean to us and have meant over time as a context for this exploration of childhood well-being today.
How did you find all these photos, and how did you choose from what must have been a huge array of possibilities?
Well, I started with the archives at the Palace of the Governors because I've worked there before and I knew there was a vast collection, and I was friendly with Daniel Klosharek, who was then the director of the archives. And I just started looking physically there. I went and Daniel pulled a bunch of files for me, and then I went online. There, many of them are accessible. Many of the photographs in their collections are available online, as are the photos from other archives in the state. There's an online site called New Mexico Digital Collections that compiles images available in digital format from University of New Mexico, New Mexico State, Albuquerque Museum, and a number of small museums around the state. So it proved to be a great kind of portal. Those two sources were primary for me.
It's so interesting what's online now. I mean, you think about sort of going through dusty archives with white little cloth cotton gloves on your hands and finding these things.
Well, what was interesting is that's what I've done before. When I did a book years ago, Savino's Map, I went physically to archives around the state. I went to Texas to archives of photographs there and went, you know, file by file, photo by photo, and this is a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things, Bill Dubuis, that I was thinking about when I was reading your little introduction was this whole thing about, you know, when you used to interview old timers about the Great Depression, They say it barely registered in a lot of communities in New Mexico. I mean, life was tough. It was rural. People had a way of surviving in community. New Mexico is a poor state, but as you point out, poverty has different meanings in different times. Talk about poverty in New Mexico then and now, and how that's kind of reflected.
Well, it's hard to figure out how poverty then and now compares. You know, it's easy to romanticize the past, but like you, I've talked to a lot of old timers who say that poverty in the past, yeah, we were poor, but we were happy. We had plenty to eat. Our families held together really well, and we had a deep connection to the land, things like that. And so today in New Mexico, it does seem to me that poverty has a much crueler aspect. Drugs have undermined a lot of social cohesion. A lot of people have had to move to the cities away from their rural roots. Extended families have been broken up a bit. If you talk to educators, say, people, one principal of an elementary school in Albuquerque told me she felt that many of the families she dealt with, the parents had kind of lost parenting skills. And so the kind of poverty that a lot of children in New Mexico are experiencing today seems to me to be crueler, less salubrious, less helpful than how things used to be.
And it's true that it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to romanticize the past because, I mean, a lot of people have left the rural past who'd had a choice not to, on purpose, because that is a rough life. And if there are alternatives, you know, people decide to go to college or to become a pharmacist or whatever it is that they do. And at the same time, there's so many other factors, two of them being inequality and drug use and drugs and the sort of drug trafficking and that whole picture here in New Mexico.
Yeah, the problem of drugs is a very deep and widespread one and is certainly a major factor in all of this. I mean, that even if we take precautions not to romanticize the past, we can't get away from the fact that today New Mexico ranks 50th among the 50 states for child well-being. And it wasn't always that way. Just a couple of decades ago, I think New Mexico was ranked more like 40th. And actually, our status as 50th, we're down there toggling at the bottom with Mississippi. And the gap between 49 and 50 up to 47 and 48 is a really big gap, according to the statistics. So this is a pretty terrible situation. I can't think of anything more disgraceful for a state than to be ranked last in the nation in child well-being. We've got to bend our efforts to make New Mexico a good place to be a kid again. And that was the main motivation behind the extensive journalism that Searchlight New Mexico has done on the question of child well-being, and for which Don has taken so many truly amazing photographs. And so this photo show is really an outgrowth of that journalism and of Don's photography on the subject.
Well, and this is what's so interesting about this show. I mean, it's all black and white photographs. And when you look at it, I mean, I haven't seen it in person yet, but I've seen kind of the layout of how it's going to be. There is this sense of continuity. You can't always even tell what decade you're in. And even when there are clues that sort of set something in time, there's also something timeless. Is that something that you really were going for? Or, you know, is it just like that's what this state is? Or how do you think about that, Don?
Well, you know, that when as soon as I started to look at images, that struck me as the strongest unifying factor in the images, that there's a constant in children's eyes in particular. You can see it so clearly in the photographs. And it's something that I the show ended up really focusing on, because it was the most striking feature of all the photographs I saw. And what it is, if you can put any kind of words on it, is it's childhood. You know, it's what Bill alludes to in his interaction, that there's a certain, you know, I don't want to say hopefulness, but a certain expectation, or a certain openness, a certain looking forward, especially in my generation. You know, our gaze is shifting backwards and looking at what we've done and where we've come from. All these faces, all these kids are wide open, and they're ready, and they're receptive, and they're expectant. And the question that Bill talks about in their eyes is, what are you preparing for me? What kind of world are you offering me? And I think, you know, many of us in recent generations have been so self-absorbed and thinking about what we want and need now, to kind of open the door to the possibility of looking ahead by looking to the past. It was sort of the theme that emerged for me.
And it's interesting, because there are, I mean, you know, a bunch of different photographs and kind of emotional states in this. And there's kind of an iconic picture of a boy, pretty young, sitting at a school desk and looking out with exactly that kind of expectant gaze that you're talking about. There's also one which I found sort of like, I'd love to know what the story was behind it. There's a man, I think at Fiesta, smiling with some little girls, and one of them is clearly wailing and crying angry about something, and then other little unhappy looking children, and like, what's going on there? And there's something, I mean, I don't know, sort of like weird and sweet and like, what about it?
Well, that's one of, I think I could say, our favorite pictures, because it contains so many stories in it, and there's so much going on with some kids looking at the Fiesta, one kid looking in horror at the kid who's crying. The father or parent father seems to think the whole thing is hilarious.
Right.
It's just a little window into a moment of time.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, writing teachers say, okay, write the short story, you know, of what you think might have been happening in that moment, which we will never know.
Yes, but a lot of stories suggest themselves.
Yeah, there are about six different emotional realities in that one photograph.
And then there's another one of these three little, they've got to be like 5 or 6 year old girls in their ballerina costumes, looking as goofy as people can possibly be.
Yeah, one thing that if you look at that picture, in the way I showed you the layout, that it's paired with, what picture is that paired with?
The one that we were just talking about on one side. And then on the other side, a picture from the 70s of Miss Vadito at the Vadito Morada.
Oh, right. So we spent some time trying to group these photos in a way that was somehow intuitively connected. And we laid those out, Bill and I, on a big table. And these ones, these three, this triptych, went well together, particularly because they all speak something about girlhood. All three of them tell a different story about girlhood in New Mexico, and they're sharply contrasting between the Fiesta scene, the ballerinas, and then this rural Penitente Morala with Miss Vadito, which is such a concept. It's like Miss USA, but Miss Vadito she's the princess for the town of Vadito, which is probably about 300 people.
Right. There's also in the show photographs by the famous photographer Dorothea Lange, and she's known for her images of the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl. Talk about her work in New Mexico.
Well, Bill, do you want to pick that one up? Or?
Well, I think the salient photograph of hers in this show is of a migrant family transiting New Mexico. She was, you know, she gave us the iconic figure of the migrant mother who is got her children hanging on her and is really the image for the whole country of that period of the Depression. And she, when doing that work with her sociologist husband, she also for a time was in New Mexico and was documenting the transit of refugees from the Dust Bowl across New Mexico headed for what they hoped were happier times in California.
Yes, she actually has three on the show, and they're all reflective of that. One of them is not a transient family, but the other two are families in transition, and they have captions which are very telling too. I included the captions from these photos from the Farm Security Administration because often they were descriptive in a really evocative way.
Yeah. Do you want to read one of those?
Well, the one that he was just describing, that photograph is 1936, and it's a little bit long. It's the longest caption in the show, but it says, "Part of an impoverished family of nine on a New Mexico highway. Depression refugees from Iowa. Left Iowa in 1932 because of father's ill health. Father an auto mechanic, laborer, painter by trade, tubercular. Family has been on relief in Arizona but refused entry on relief rolls in Iowa, to which state they wish to return. Nine children, including a 6 4-month-old baby. No money at all. About to sell their belongings and trailer for money to buy food. We don't want to go nowhere where we'll be a nuisance to anybody," she quotes.
"We don't want to go nowhere where we'll be a nuisance to nobody." And it's so poignant because this family, if there's anybody who needs help and love and compassion and material assistance, it's this family. And the humility and modesty in that quote is really striking.
Yeah, it is, and it's really striking, the image. It's really reminiscent of her famous photos from California of refugees living there who had come from the Dust Bowl.
Right.
And actually, one of the things I liked about this picture, it's kind of an inverse of her famous migrant mother picture in a way. In this one, the two kids are looking at the camera and the mother's looking away.
Right, and very interesting. I mean, it also causes, and I think this is one thing that's nice about this show, it really causes reflection or allows reflection on, you know, those were the migrant issues of that time, and Iowa was refusing to let, you know, to help people, or Californian was refusing people from Kansas to come in, and now we're refusing people from south of the border, and it's kind of the same dynamic in a new decade.
Exactly, and some of the same sentiments are arising because people here were having difficulties. There was resentment towards migrants.
Yeah. Bill, what was your role in putting all of this together?
Well, I've been involved with Searchlight since Searchlight got started. I actually took the idea to them of doing taking a long investigative look at issues around child well-being in New Mexico. And over time, I've joined the board, and lately I've become chair of that board. And so it was natural to work with Don and also our executive editor, Sarah Solovich, on the show.
Don, you've got a couple of pictures in the show. I think two pictures, is that right, or three?
I think there's three, yeah.
How did you, or maybe together as a group, choose the ones of yours that you put in? They're from, I think, mostly from before you started working with Searchlight. I mean, you have a long career of photographing in New Mexico.
Yeah, I think two of them are from before. And I wanted to have some contemporary photos, and I put some in there for consideration, and they seem to work well by agreement from the others involved, Sarah and Bill. I would not be so bold as to force my own pictures on if there wasn't some agreement that they fit. And the idea there was to include some contemporary photos that showed that continuity with the past. And I also included some other contemporary photographers as well. It brought it right up to 2018 with the images.
The show is called The Once and Future Child, a photographic history of childhood in New Mexico, and it opens on the 11th of October, runs through the 1st of November. It was all put together, as we've been talking about, by Searchlight New Mexico. Are there any events that people can come to, like the opening?
There is an opening reception, yes, on October 11th, which is going to be at El Zaguan on Canyon Road.
545 Canyon Road, here in Santa Fe.
It's 5 to 7 on October the 11th. That's open to the public, and I hope to see a lot of people there. I think it's a very compelling collection all put together. We had it framed really handsomely to make the presentation, you know, look good. And I think the intention was to sort of deepen people's attention to and awareness of childhood in New Mexico, which is the whole effort of Searchlight.
Searchlight and so many others in New Mexico who are working on trying to do something about this state, its reputation, and working with the resources we have.
Yeah, and I think it's the appropriate impulse is to rally around children when times get tough like this. And this is part of that effort to cause some reflection and some more motivation to really pay attention to children's issues.
Anything else you want to let us know, Bill Dubuis?
Well, just that I hope people will come to this show and absorb these magnificent images. As Don said, the tone through the show is really one of interrogation. The children in these images are asking questions of the adult world, and we adults need to pay attention to the questions they're asking.
Very interesting, and I think that's a really nice set of questions for us as viewers to approach that. Like, look at each picture and say, okay, what questions is each person in each of these images asking? I mean, there's even an Edward Curtis photograph from 1905, and he was the one who famously took Native Americans in the West and put them in their more traditional costumes and did these very staged, almost stylized pictures, and yet the spirit coming through people's eyes is incredible.
That's exactly right.
Yes, so the subject in that photograph is still asking the adult world, are you making a place for me? Are you doing the right thing for me? Is there a place for me in this world?
Yeah.
Are you getting it ready for me? And we need to answer those questions.
Don Usner is curator of the exhibit, The Once and Future Child. And Bill Dubuis is chairman of the board of Searchlight New Mexico, a prolific author, and did the introduction to this show. We will see you on October 11th at 5 o'clock at El Zaguan, 545 Canyon Road. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
And before we go, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation, the Lenzic Performing Arts Center, Southwest Care, the Lannan Foundation, and the Santa Fe Institute. Thanks for making the Radio Cafe possible. Los Alamos National Laboratory Foundation moves public education in bold new directions through grants, programs, and advocacy. Supporting social and emotional needs of students and teachers, visit lanlfoundation.org for more information. And many thanks to the LANL Foundation for supporting the Radio Cafe. You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte Domondi. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send us any feedback on the show, ideas or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.